Let us pray. Lord, thank you for drawing close to us tonight with these scriptures and the space that we share together. And thank you for your word that is so potent and that interrupts just the horizontal with a glimpse of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Are these the scriptures you read last week? I just wonder if that's... Okay, good. Because I do think that when we're talking about cancer, it's another way of talking about that threshold of death, you know, between life and death. When you have cancer, you're back and forth. You know, you're on that... You're just in a liminal space, right? You know, it could go south, or it could get better, or whatever. And people regard you in that way too. You know, people say, well, does this mean you're gonna not be with us next Thanksgiving? What does this mean that you have cancer? Is this just, there's variations of cancer, in our lives. There's variations of the treatment. There's variations of our different experiences with it. And there's variations of the way that we think that that the Lord has claimed responsibility for it. And you hear this rather clearly in this wonderful poem. It is such a great poem. I know we live in a city that's residence to some great poets. And I wish this guy would live here, but I doubt it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he has a problem with Florida, but I do think he, anyway, one day I'll get him here to All Saints and we'll try to change his mind and get him to move to Winter Park and give Billy Collins a run for his money. But here's this. Here's what he writes. This is from his collection called Every Riven Thing. And his name is Christian Wyman. But the world is more often refuge than evidence. Comfort and covert for the flinching will rather than the sharp, particulate instance through which God's being burns into ours. I say God and mean more than the bright abyss that opens in that word. I say world and mean less than the abstract oblivion of atoms out of which every intact thing finally goes. I do not know how to come closer to God except by standing where a world is ending for one man. It's still dark. And for an hour I have listened to the breathing of the woman I love beyond my ability to love. Praise to the pain scalding us toward each other, the grief beyond which, please God, she will live and thrive. And praise to the light that is not yet, the dawn in which one bird believes, crying not as if there had been no night, but as if there were no night in which it had not been. You kind of hear those, the language that's kind of can be associated with treatment for cancer. The pain that's scalding us. God's being burns into ours. Praise to the pain that's scalding us toward each other. And it sounds a lot like glorified chemo. but here's what I want to put you in mind of tonight is that the grace of God meets us in these places. And we, in our church, in the Episcopal Church, we've got a prayer book and we've got, the way that we read the scriptures, and it's all set for just coping, right? There's nothing better. Like, if it's not going to get better, these resources, that little red prayer book that's underneath you, even some of those hymns, definitely the songs that we've been introducing to you and the scriptures that really do get cultivated for you in the lectionary. All of that is great equipment. It is what you need. You are outfitted well for the roller coaster ride that is life. where we all have a death sentence. Nobody's getting out of this alive, right? We kind of joke around about that. But we're also placed, and I know it's hard to see in the Episcopal Church and in a traditional place, we're also Christians who believe that the regular comings and goings of life, including the diagnosis of cancer, for you, can be an occasion for God to act, can be an occasion for the vertical to meet us in the horizontal and interrupt everything. You know, prevent the cancer from advancing. I mean, God does intervene. And you've seen it. You've heard these stories before. I also know that we have the other stories. But God has a way of taking whatever it has presented itself to be the entryway into the valley of the shadow of death as the threshold he needs into our lives. And so cancer, and when you come out on the other side of it, whether that's after a burial, or whether that's after you've rung a bell in a clinic, whether that's after a party with a friend and her family, it is certainly a threshold for the Lord to work. This is what C.S. Lewis wrote about death. He said, and he uses the threat of atomic war and living in an atomic age to be a way for us to talk about it. And you could think of that as a metaphor for even cancer. Whatever it is, here's what he says. In one way, we think a great deal too much of the atomic bomb. How are we to live in an atomic age? I'm often asked. I'm tempted to reply, why, as you would have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited London almost every year, or as you would have lived in a Viking age when raiders from Scandinavia might land and cut your throat any night, or indeed as you are already living in an age of cancer, an age of syphilis, an age of paralysis, an age of air raids, an age of railway accidents, an age of motor accidents. He's writing this in 1948. He said, in other words, do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. Believe me, dear sir or madam, you and all of whom you love were already sentenced to death before the atomic bomb was invented, or before you got the diagnosis, or before fill in the blank. It's perfectly ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces because the scientists have added one more chance of painful and premature death to a world which already bristled with such chances and in which death itself was not a chance at all, but a certainty. This is the first point to be made, and the first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. If we are all going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb, let that bomb, when it comes, find us doing sensible and human things, praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting to our friends over a pint and a game of darts, not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about bombs. They may break our bodies, a microbe can do that, but they need not dominate our minds. So, I say that, repeat the poet and the other writer, C.S. Lewis, especially on the day that he died so many years ago, not to just slap us out of being in our navels if the shadow of death that's fallen across us is due to cancer or whatever it might be, whatever threat is facing you right now. But it's just to remind you of the resurrection. David, when he heard that his child was not going to live, instead of breaking out into the mourner's path, instead of leaping onto that, he pulled himself together. And the way that he pulled himself together was to look ahead to joining his family in the resurrection, and to looking ahead to the moment that his child would join him in the resurrection. And that gave him perspective on what he was dealing with. When we are here tonight, maybe to pray in particular for healing from cancer, we are not, you've gone to the doctors. You know, you've gone to everybody who's told you, well, this is what you eat when you're under treatment, or this is how you need to sleep, or we've gone to every expert and everything that can we can find out on the best ways to get ourselves in the best situation so that the treatment can be applied in the best way. We've done all that. When we come here, we're asking God to interrupt all of the horizontal, all the efforts, everything, all the machinations, everything, all the best treatments, all the best options, to interrupt even that, our best efforts, with His divine intervention. That's what we're doing when we come together. And even though this is an outfitter for going through life like David did, even though this is that situation, we are a place where God has done it before and He'll do it again. We're a place where He will intervene, just like He did with Lazarus. When Lazarus, we're on this threshold of whether or not, they know that the Lord's going to call him up out of his own grave. And so maybe that's where you feel like you are tonight. You're on a threshold of whether you'll be healed or not, or whether somebody in your life will be healed or not from their cancer, whether the treatment will work. I just want you to feel and know this merciful God is present with you in it and is willing to interrupt the way things usually go with a very special display of His power. He is willing to do that in your life. And we believe that He can, because He's done it before. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.